In Scotland, there is Caoilte Bear, and she's also called Bear, the Queen of Winter. She is the hag aspect of the triple goddess.
I beg your pardon. How dare you?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, I'll let you introduce it.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Winter Solstice.
Yes, welcome to Winter Skull.
No, this is Winter Solstice.
Huh? I thought that was the same thing. No. It's not. Welcome to Winter Solstice.
I used to get confused. Like, Winter Solstice is one day of the year, and they say it's the shortest day of the year.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I'd be like, wait, is there less time in this day? Is it 23 yes. hours?
Do I get off early?
Like, how is it the shortest day if every day is 24 hours? I don't get it.
They didn't say to you it's the least amount of sunlight.
Yes. Okay. Daylight is limited.
All right.
This is the day when there's more darkness than light.
Okay.
I didn't get it. I was lost, and I just kind of never asked, and it just went with it. So Winter Solstice, it's upon us.
Okay.
And it is a day that people have celebrated since the beginning of humanity. Because not only, it was so yes, they went ahead and acknowledged that there was more darkness than light, but afterwards it started getting lighter. That is the turning point where light is going to come back.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, too, it kind of signifies winter.
Yes.
Which I love. Winter is is my favorite season. I love being out in the snow. I love getting bundled up. I enjoy being inside, the Scandinavian, the Scandinavian term for, like, warmth and coziness.
Right.
I like that. And I'm not a huge fan of the sun sometimes. Right. Screw it.
That's right.
Bring on the winter.
Right, right. So the solstice is upon us. It's happening. And let's see, it marks the longest night and the shortest day of the year for the Northern Hemisphere. Daylight hours grow shorter and shorter. And let's see, New York City will experience 9 hours and 15 minutes of sunlight compared to 15 hours and 5 minutes.
Really?
In the summer.
It doesn't seem like there's that much light in the summertime. I don't feel like there's 15 hours in the summertime.
Yeah.
Am I missing most of it? I'm asleep for most of it, probably.
Or we're inside.
Yeah. Because it's like 6 o.clock in the morning. I'm not seeing that. It doesn't matter to me.
That.
No. I'm not about that life.
The light is happening while you're still in bed.
Yeah.
Ancient cultures viewed the winter solstice as a time of death and rebirth.
Okay.
Yeah, seeing the death in the light and the very real threat of starvation over the winter months would have weighed heavily on early societies.
I can't imagine that. And we think of wintertime as, like, snuggling up and being inside with, like, extra food.
Yeah.
These guys are just worried about the basic level of food
right.
they've had all year long not being available to them.
Yes, and this day also marks the, quote-unquote, discovery of a new and strange world.
Okay.
So the pilgrims arrived on Plymouth on December 21st.
A dark day for the native peoples.
Yes.
The shortest day of the year.
Yes. So apparently, to found a society that would allow them to worship freely. BS.
Sure, yeah.
And then Pierre and Marie Curie discovered radium on that day.
Really? I didn't know that.
And also the Apollo 8 spacecraft launched that day.
That's it.
That's it.
Those three things. Next year we should try to plan something big.
Yeah.
For the solstice, so that it can get onto this list. Because I'm not saying that those things aren't monumental, but come on.
I know. We need to zhuzh it up a little bit with that. They say Stonehenge is aligned to the sunset.
I was going to say it's a lie. Stonehenge is a lie. Don't believe the hype. There was no druids. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. It's a lie, I tell you.
Yes, it's a lie. Just don't believe it.
It's a big game. It's like dominoes.
Yeah. It's not even there.
Yeah. Stonehenge is aligned to the sunset on winter solstice. So when the sun does its thing, it all...
So what actually... It's aligned, but what does that mean?
It's the way that it is set up. Mm-hmm. The sun will
shines
through a specific... portal,
okay.
I guess, if you will, yes. of Stonehenge.
a vortex, if I will. And comes out the other side, Skippy.
Yeah, they say it, there's some kind of religious significance to Stonehenge with that. And, and you know, scholars have debated its importance on the winter and what it meant to, like, hippies and pagans and other types of enthusiasts, as they say here.
It's pretty obvious that it's some kind of calendar, though, right? Or clock.
A clock. Oh, God. Imagine if it's a doomsday clock.
What's going to happen? One day it's not going to shine through. They're going to be like, well, that's it.
That's the end.
Yeah. A doomsday clock. Wow. I guess they did it a bit early, though, for their culture.
Yes. So this is also the festival to honor the agricultural god Saturn.
Okay. Big ups to Saturn.
There was a temple that was dedicated to him in the year 497 BC.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a time of widespread revelry and debauchery.
Wow.
Where society's roles were overturned and masters served the slaves and the servants allowed to insult the masters.
It was like opposite day.
Yeah. There was mask wearing and play acting.
Was a wolf or the tail of a wolf involved but in any way?
I hope so.
Yeah. You're not cavorting until someone's dressed like a wolf.
Yeah.
Right.
Each household elected a king of misrule.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then Saturnalia was gradually replaced by Christmas throughout the Roman Empire.
As exciting.
Not as much fun.
Yeah.
And then there's another tradition where dark spirits walk the earth on the winter solstice.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Iranian festival of Yalda is celebrated, and it heralded the birth of Mithra, the ancient sun god, and his triumph over darkness. Zoroastrian lore holds that evil spirits wander the earth, and the forces of the destructive spirit, Ahriman, are strongest on this long night. And so people are encouraged to stay up most of the night in the company of one another, eating, talking, and sharing poetry and stories in order to avoid any brushes with dark entities.
That's a really beautiful tradition.
I like that idea.
Yes. I can't imagine people here staying up and telling stories like that.
Yeah.
We're more likely, I think, to watch something and get our stories that way. But I like the idea of sharing stories and staying up all night. Huh.
So that's cool.
And so, Yalda.
In 2012, some people thought the world would end on the winter solstice.
I remember that. Yeah, I think the next end of the world is coming up soon.
Oh, when?
I think it might be in 2020.
Oh, on
Election
Day?
I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But we've had several. 2012 was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Mayan one?
Yeah.
And the Mayans were like, look, it's not the end of the world. We're just saying it's a resetting.
It's a resetting. It's the end of the world as we know it. Yeah. We feel fine.
Yes, we do. So I think the next one is in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people thought it was the end of the world, but it was really the herald of a new era, a deep transformation for Earth and its inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those things appeared to occur.
Yeah, I was going to say, dumpster fire the day before, dumpster fire afterwards. Yeah,
right.
So I found some stuff here about winter, what we can do at the solstice.
Okay.
For fun,
okay.
So here's some extreme winter sports for the thrill seeker in you and in me. So I thought I had seen all the extreme sports that are out there. Lo and behold, there's still some.
Did.
Yeah, what do I know? There's still some out there. So this is snow kayaking.
Snow kayaking.
Yes. So it
sounds really fast and riveting.
Much like sledding, all the sport requires is a slope, a little momentum, and some gumption. You haul a kayak up a snow-covered hill, and you get into the kayak, and then you go down, and you try to paddle. That's it.
Do you use the same equipment that you use in the water?
You use exactly the same equipment. So you have the kayak and then the paddle, like the two-sided paddle.
Yeah.
And you use that to try to steer yourself around. And once you figured out how to do it properly, you can add wax to the bottom of the kayak to make it go faster.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That sounds like fun, actually.
Yeah. Here's another one. It's called shovel racing. Apparently, this was invented on the ski lifts.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this?
I've heard about this, and it sounds like an accident waiting to happen that will result in no children.
Well, basically, yeah. Either that or just a flat face.
Yeah.
So basically, this was something that was invented by people who worked on the ski lifts. Mm-hmm. And after they were done, they would have they'd be at the top of the ski lifts, not skiing, right, because they're the workers. They'd have their shovels, and they would sled down on a shovel. And lo and behold, it has turned into a sport, and people can now achieve speeds of nearly 60 miles per hour on a shovel going downhill.
Okay.
It says for a more relaxed version, try being pulled behind a horse on flat ground. No. They're going to shit right on you. I don't like to be in that end of a horse ever.
The business end.
Who wants to be back there? Well, even when I used to ride horses as a girl, I was just like, really, do you have to do this now?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
There's so much.
Yes.
It's so big.
So big. Why would you want to be by? You're being pulled.
I know.
In the path of, you know.
Yeah.
Here's another one. I didn't quite understand this one. Speed flying. It says that possibly the most dangerous and expensive of the winter sports. This is an Elon Musk sport.
Okay.
If I must say. Speed flying is downhill skiing with parachute-like fabric wings.
Ooh.
I know. Often you get dropped off by a helicopter on a remote summit, and then you sail down the mountain. And then when you get close enough to the mountain, your skis touch the snow, and then you ski the rest of the way down.
Okay, so you kind of float.
It's speed flying.
You float, and then you...
I don't know how much floating happens. Like, I like that you're saying float, but in my mind, it's a plummet.
Yeah.
Until your skis hit the ground. So you're wearing little wings made out of fabric. They drop you out of a helicopter, and then it's just good luck. We'll see you at the bottom. It says one of the most dangerous and expensive. Ask Elon Musk. It seems like something he would do. Then the other one I have here is ski biking. It's one of the easiest extreme winter sports. Bike wheels are replaced with skis. Uh-huh. So you get like a BMX, you take the wheels off, uh-huh. stick some skis on there. And then that's it. The result is a vehicle used to shoot down steep, snowy hills. Learning the sport is laid back and fun. I don't know about that. Laid back and fun, but the only problem is finding a ski bike. So some ski resorts actually offer this as a fun way to get down the mountain.
Okay.
So those are some extreme winter sports. The one where they drop you out of a helicopter and you're wearing fabric wings, I don't understand who came up with that
know.
Or why.
Well, it's kind of like that paragliding, but you need to...
Yeah.
But you don't want to go through the hassle of opening a chute?
I don't know.
Like this whole harness attached to you?
So they drop you out, you have your skis on. What if one comes off?
Oh, you're pretty doomed.
Yes,
there, right?
Doomed. Exactly.
Ugh.
All right, what do you have?
Well, if you want to celebrate solstice with your friends,
okay.
It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Right?
Normally, I just kick it alone, but if I want to have a couple people over for the solstice, yeah, what do I do?
Yeah, so you know, different cultures do different things, but we don't really talk about this, do we?
It's kind of hush-hush. What do we...
Well, there's nothing wrong with embracing other people's cultures, if you even know them.
Yeah,
nobody
if
talks
you're
about
aware
them.
Of them.
But you can
They're
also
trying to
make
stop
your
us
own.
From mucking it up.
Yeah.
We're going to turn into a shopping holiday, whatever it is.
Right,
what can
right,
I buy
right.
for you?
Well, you can do something like what they do in Pakistan here.
Okay.
It's about 7 day. It's a 7 day party, and it includes...
I like it already.
There's ritual bathing, and then there's eating and bonfires and singing and dancing. And it goes on for like a week.
Okay.
So you could do that.
It's just a week-long party.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do that.
Mm-hmm. In Poland, before Christianity.
Okay.
The December solstice marked the time of showing forgiveness and splitting food. So why don't you do something like that? Decide to squash all your beef with your friends.
Yes, we'll have a
meal.
Well, I'll share a pierogi with you.
Yeah. In China, they spend... more time with their families and eat lavish meals and honor, which also honors more daylight hours. And it boosts positive energy.
Okay.
So I guess a lot of these things are just like get together and eat.
Get together and eat. I mean, this is what I was saying. One of the problems I think with holidays in our country is that we don't have just a general holiday like this.
Mm-hmm.
We need Thanksgiving is too loaded.
Yeah.
Because of the whole pilgrims and the Native American. We just need a holiday where it's like, stuff yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get loaded. Eat a lot of food. Sit around and talk. And we'll just do that for a couple days.
Yeah.
And see what comes out of it.
They got the four R's.
#NYC. Oh, here's something you can do for the Yule.
Okay. Yule related.
Create a winter solstice tree.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
What should I put on it?
Many people make a winter solstice tree by hanging food to feed the animals when their supplies have been scarce in the winter.
Yeah. You know what? When I was a little girl, I heard about this too. Like, you can make some kind of like a pine cone dessert.
Right. Right. You get a pine cone and spread peanut butter on it and some seeds and roll it in seeds. You could do that.
That would, in the Bronx, that would last like 2 minutes. The squirrels would descend on it. I told you, last week I saw a squirrel eating a donut hole. So I stopped to take a picture of it, and we had a moment where it looked at me, and I got a little freaked out.
And it was like, you want this? You don't want this.
Yeah. You want a piece of me? You want a piece of this donut hole? And then it ran off.
If you want a piece of this donut, you're going to get a piece of me.
But the donut hole was like, it was holding, it was bigger than its head. It was not good for it. I was concerned about the sugar, cholesterol.
There's nothing
positive in a donut. How did he get a donut hole? Whatever.
Another thing you can do, you can make a Kraft orange pomander.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
I remember doing those, too. Those are cool.
So you take an orange and you stick little pomaders on it and decorate it. It's a very spicy.
Yeah. And they last for a long time, too.
It lasts for a long, yes. For a long time, you put it out in your kitchen. Yeah. They smell nice.
I remember doing that in, like, elementary school. My mom being like, what the hell is this? Piece of fruit on a string.
Yeah.
With a clove.
You can make a star or sun ornaments and hang it on your Christmas tree.
Okay.
Just be like, listen, Christianity.
Keep it rolling. Keep it.
I got my eye on you. Yeah. You could stay up all night to welcome back the light, which is fun. I think you need some.
Do something.
Yeah. Some booze.
Are more people, is there a cocktail that goes along with that?
Yeah, right. Okay, the Yule log.
Solstice on the rocks.
The Yule log is a special log burned on the night of the winter solstice. Traditionally, the fire is kept burning all night long to bring light to the darkest night of the year and help reignite the sun.
I thought it was a Christmas, because, you know, you can watch the Yule log on TV, or you can buy Yule. I thought it was a Christmas thing. I didn't know it was from solstice.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And traditionally, a piece of last year's Yule log was often saved to help ignite the next year's.
So is there anything special about the log other than you're burning it on the solstice? Does it have to be a particular thing?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
That's all I know.
And then you save a piece of it.
Save a piece and use it to light the next one.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
We never really learned about the Yule log. We thought it was like the Christmas log.
Yeah.
And it was just for Christmas.
But. Yeah, I didn't know that. Huh, okay.
Yes, and then, of course, you can set intentions.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can reflect and release and let go of stuff. And you can write down these things on a scrap of paper and then throw it into the fire.
I feel like I'm required to do a lot of reflection lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that comes up.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to reflect. I don't have that much time in my life.
You can reflect, you can set intentions, and you can do yoga and meditate in front of this fire.
Of course. Okay. In front of the Yule log. So I wanted to bring this up, that for the past couple of years, everyone's been going crazy about the Hig.
The Hig, yes. People will post it on Facebook, but they don't know how to pronounce it. So it's pronounced Hig?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Hig.
So Hig.
It's a term. The Scandinavian idea of coziness in the wintertime, being with family and friends, soft.
So it's an atmosphere that's created with things around you, like warm candlelight and firelight.
Yeah, but it's about being inside, generally, and being cocooned in some way. It's not about forgetting about what's going on in the outside in the world. It's about being in a comfortable space with people that you care about. Soft lights, good food, stuff like this. So there's a new game in town.
Uh-oh.
And it means open-air living, and it's called Free Lufts Live. One
free
word.
Free Lufts Live.
Free Lufts Live. Open-air living.
Okay.
And so it comes from the idea that in Sweden, which is what they're saying it comes from, but for all Scandinavians, it's an idea that was kind of coined by Ibsen, who used the term to describe the value of spending time in remote locations for spiritual and physical well-being.
Okay.
So around the solstice is a good time to consider going outside and communing with nature. But this idea of the free, loose live is that you should be doing this throughout the year.
Okay.
Right? So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you need to make time to go outside. And apparently there, so in the Nordic regions, there's a history of this being a part of their culture. Mm-hmm. Because they are a small group of people in a large landscape, you know, they have very close ties to the land. And they're saying even though they're becoming more urbanized and people are primarily living in cities, they still like to go out. And in fact, companies there organize time for their employees to go outside and be in nature. Sometimes they sponsor it.
No kidding. Okay.
So there's one company that mentioned in the article that they get 90 minutes on a Wednesday that's scheduled time for groups to get together that they want to go out and do something outside. Or if you just want to go for a walk, go cross-country skiing, or just go outside and commune with nature.
That's great.
They offer discounts on equipment. Because, you know, a lot of the things, if you're going to be outside in Scandinavia, you need some equipment.
You need snowshoes.
Yeah, you need snowshoes, or you need the poles that you're going to be using, or whatever the activity is. And they think it's interesting that companies like Apple or Google are seen as being cool for allowing their employees to go outside, whereas they're like, this is like a normal thing here.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the idea apparently in Scandinavia that they have, you know, more of a work-life balance, but also companies are more attuned to you work when you need to work, when you have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel like you need to take a break, you can go and take a break.
Yeah.
But they're saying, unfortunately, this culture of the fruits, I'm going to fruits, it's not fruits, of free loose live is being jeopardized by the kind of entrepreneurial tech culture where you're working round the clock and you're very indoor-oriented.
Yeah.
And so they're hoping that the next generation will still be interested in going outside and communing with nature. And there are a lot of people who are doing this in an attempt to get away from, like, being connected. But I like that idea of, like, promoting within, not just within the culture of companies, but in the culture in general, like, go outside.
Yeah,
be outside. Because there are social benefits to it. There are psychological, spiritual benefits to being outside in nature.
It can only make you work better.
Yeah.
And it makes people happier and a little more, you know, burns off stress.
Yeah, whereas a lot of things here, company-oriented, it's like, it's just to get you to work better. But they're approaching it as like, your work life should not be so all-encompassing that you can go out and enjoy nature. They also have something that's, it basically means like the right to roam. So apparently in a lot of Scandinavian countries, you are free to walk wherever you want or camp wherever you want, as long as you're respectful of where you are. So they have a different approach towards land.
Wow.
So if you want to go for like a 20-mile hike over a couple of days, you can do that and you don't have to be worried about, am I trespassing?
Really? So that's like kind of a thing that people are allowing you to walk on their property?
Yeah.
Because there's a kind of a trust involved.
And it's like the idea that you have the right to go from point A to point B. Like no one should be able to stop you from getting to the mountains.
Right.
Or from getting to the ocean.
Right.
Or whatever.
So you have to be respectful.
Yeah, you have to be respectful.
Garbage around.
No garbage.
Noise.
Pack in, pack out. There's a similar thing in England, and it's called, I think, the right to ramble, where you can't be stopped from crossing through someone's property. And most people have areas where they're like, here, it's easier to cross here. Or like, here's a safe area for you to go through. So that's fruit. I'm not going to be able to say it. Free loose live.
Ah.
The idea of being open air living. I like that.
That's interesting. And that's like, that kind of makes me think of, this isn't, and it has anything to do with the solstice, but in Colorado, they have hot springs, like natural hot springs, and usually have to pay to get in them. They're maintained and all of that. But there's some natural ones out there that are free to the public. Like nobody maintains them. They're just like,
they're just there.
They're just there. And they talk about them in pamphlets and literature and online, and they're free, of course, and you just go, and clothing's optional, because who's going to enforce that?
Yeah, and also, too, do you want necessarily to take your clothing into that kind of water or that kind of environment?
Yeah.
You know, like, presumably you're hiking there, you're going to get into it, butt naked, get out, towel off,
right.
Put your clothes back on and go on your way.
Right, right, right. Yeah. But it's just the idea that you don't have to pay to get this kind of benefit from the earth.
Yeah. Well, I guess we shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Since the spring was not created by anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
We should at least have the right to use it.
Me putting a flag down on the spring. It's mine.
Yes.
Pay me now.
Casimir Spring.
Yeah.
$10.
Hey. All right.
Clothing not optional.
Yes. Everyone, and more clothing.
More clothing. You have to rent clothing from me.
Yeah. Some of the places, though, actually, that you can rent... You could rent bathing suits for $2.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
$2 for a towel and $2 for a suit.
How is the suit? Is it one size fits all?
Apparently they have several.
Okay. Several. Four.
Suits. And they're like, why bother buying a suit when you can just rent one from us?
Oh, it's so hard for me to deal with a bathing suit anyway. I can't imagine one that I could rent is going to work for me.
Yeah. I know, right? So
I'd almost rather go to the clothing optional one.
Yeah.
That's just easier.
Take your chances.
Yeah, I'll take my chances.
Oh,
less embarrassing than trying to squeeze myself into some kind of a tankini nightmare. Okay.
Well, we were saying that the winter solstice is a night where the evil spirits may roam, or spirits in general, they come out. And mm-hmm. I think that's also where they got to the tradition of telling ghost stories at Christmas.
Yeah, to ward off those spirits.
Yes, right.
Because it wasn't just Christmas. There were other celebrations happening at the time of year, too.
Right. So there are different cultures celebrate winter solstice in their own way, and they each have their own ghosts and deities for that time of year. Like in Greece, there is the kingfisher goddess, and she nests every winter for 2 weeks. And when she does, the wild seas become calm and peaceful. And yes.
The kingfisher goddess?
The kingfisher goddess. Okay. Her name is Aelion.
I didn't know they had kingfishers there.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but they do.
Who knew? Greece.
Mm. Yes. In Japan, they have Aramatasu.
Mm-hmm.
Worshippers celebrated the return of Aramatasu, the sun goddess who slept in a cold, remote cave. When the other gods woke her with a loud celebration, she looked out of her cave and saw the image of herself in the mirror. The other gods.
What mirror?
I know.
Who put that up?
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's what we
I just got
say.
Up.
The other gods convinced her to emerge from her seclusion and return the sunlight to the universe. And according to historians, she blocked herself in a cave following an argument with Susano when he surprised the goddess with a monstrous flayed horse when she was quietly weaving in her palace with her younger sister.
I'm sorry, what was the problem? He gave her a horse
a
while she was trying to do a tapestry and she was like, that's it, I'm out?
Pretty much.
What a polite culture.
So
people were probably like, we told you
like,
not
I'm
to.
She was out, but when she said she's out, she cast the world in total darkness, and evil spirits ran riot over the earth. So leave her alone while she's weaving.
But I'm sure his boys were like, dude, we told you not to go over there with that horse.
Yeah. And all the other gods tried in all manner of ways to persuade the peeved goddess to leave the cave.
Mm-hmm. They're just making it worse.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how to process that. Because none of that sounds.
Yeah, so they're all trying to get her back. She was just like, I'm weaving, and don't bring a flayed horse
like,
in here.
Well, do you want to let us know when you're going to come out? Or
no, and that's it. They're all trying to get her out. So that's what the solstice is about. She's sleeping. They're waking her up. So they're prompting her to come out of the cave, and that's how it gets lighter and lighter.
She's just trying to weave.
She was just trying to weave, but now everyone messed it up.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. And leave people alone.
Yeah, if you see someone doing a tapestry, that's not the time. It's just not.
The Norse god Baldur is associated with the legend of mistletoe. His mother...
Oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
His mother, Frigga, honored Baldur and asked all of nature to promise not to harm him. Unfortunately...
Yeah. The mistletoe...
In her haste, Frigga overlooked the mistletoe plant, so Loki, the resident trickster, took advantage of the opportunity and fooled Baldur's blind twin, Hodar, into killing him with a spear made of mistletoe.
Oh, that Loki. Always the prankster.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit too far, though, no?
Yeah.
It's not the old horse at the cave presentation.
Yeah. In Scotland, there is Caillich Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also called Bear, the Queen of Winter. She is the hag aspect of the triple goddess.
I beg your pardon. How dare you?
And she rules the dark days between, like, what we know as Halloween and Beltane.
Okay.
So she appears in the late fall as the Earth is dying and is known as a bringer of storms. She's typically portrayed as a one-eyed old woman with bad teeth and matted hair.
Bad teeth. That's, well, the hag.
The hag. So that's who's...
And she's bringing winter.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole deal with Demeter and Persephone.
Mm-hmm. Who could forget?
So Demeter is linked strongly to the changing of the seasons and is often connected to the image of Dark Mother in winter. When Persephone was abducted by Hades, Demeter's grief caused the Earth to die for 6 months until her daughter returned. So every culture has this kind of story that involves the woman and...
Except for ours.
Yeah.
We don't have anything. We're just trying to move past it.
Yeah. So there's all these stories and the different gods and the ghosts of solstices.
I like it. So I have something here that it's a solstice getting cold. These are foods that will help keep you warm.
Foods that will help keep you warm.
So generally, I mean, obviously booze, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not food, but booze will definitely keep you warm. But there are some things on here that I was a little surprised about. So the first one they have here is iced coffee. They were saying you should not just hot, but also iced coffee can keep you toasty. Apparently it's the caffeine that warms you up. It increases your metabolism. So it doesn't matter if it's hot, if it's cold.
No kidding.
Will help you stay warm.
Okay.
Because we always think about, like, you know, if someone's freezing, you're like, you want a coffee? Like, you know.
Something black. Hot, yeah.
Just no, it's just the caffeine.
So right? If you have, like, a hot tea.
That has could do
no
it as well.
But if it has no caffeine.
If it has no caffeine, forget about it.
Just don't even
you're
bother.
You're just Whistling Dixie. Another one here is lean meats.
Oh,
lean meats. This is for people who are, if you always have cold hands and cold feet, you may be iron deficient. And they recommend having iron-rich foods such as a lean beef, lean poultry, pork, tenderloin. And they are low in fat. But also, if you are not a person who eats meat, you can have a lot of leafy greens, spinach, kale, collard greens, things like that. But this is something I always do, and I didn't 100% know why. I was always told to have a little citrus on it.
Okay.
Because that helps your body to absorb iron.
Yeah.
I thought it brought something out in the food, but what it does is it helps your body to hold on to the iron when it comes into your body with citrus.
Oh, that's
interesting.
Right. I've heard of that before. I think a friend had a baby and was like giving her vegetables and then a little bit of
citrus to go with it. Yeah, I always put a little lemon juice in my collard greens. They also said whole grains and complex carbs, no problem.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Fiber, whole grains, complex carbs, potatoes, and lentils require more energy to break down, and it keeps you fuller longer, but because your body's trying to break it down, it warms up. So in the process of trying to deal with this food, you create heat.
Right. That's right. Bear Grylls says when you're
out
in the wilderness and you're trying to keep warm, you eat small meals.
To keep your body...
Yeah, so that's why you have trail mix and you keep eating as you go. It's not just for energy. It's to keep you warm. And
whatever happened to Bear Grylls?
I don't know.
We'll have to investigate that.
I know.
And whatever happened to him. He may still be out there. I know he broke with the network.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, maybe he got too big for his little outdoor britches. Okay. So also cumin, your favorite.
I know
you love some cumin. So cumin is one of these things. They always say people can eat spicy food and that will warm you up, of course. But apparently cumin does it without being spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And science doesn't know why. They're still investigating why it is that cumin helps to keep you warm.
Oh, that's interesting.
They don't know why. They're working on it.
Mysteries of spices.
The mystery of... And also ginger.
That's our next podcast. Mysteries.
The mysteries of spices with Jaquetta and Katie.
Yeah.
Today, cumin.
Yeah.
So ginger, tell people have some ginger with hot water, a little bit of lemon, and that will keep, it will help you with digestion and help you to lose weight, but also apparently it keeps you warm as well.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Wait, you just take those gnarled roots of the ginger, you peel it, chop it up, and boil it, and then you have ginger tea right there. And just like you're saying, lemon and honey. And it will keep you from getting sick.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I learned this from... It was some Chinese students I had. Mm-hmm. They swore by it. I was like, what are you guys drinking all the time? They were like, hey, you need to get on this.
Oh, yeah,
it's
you
just
do.
Ginger. And they, like you said, they brew a pot of it.
And
just
they
drink
just,
it.
Just drink it. You bring it to work with you.
Yeah, and it tastes good.
Around. Yeah.
It's so usually great. You take, when I think about ginger, it's overpowering, but this way it isn't. And then the last one is bananas.
Really?
Well, bananas. It is bananas. It's not bananas. Like, it's bananas.
The actual fruit.
It's rich in vitamin B and magnesium. Apparently, it says it helps the thyroid and adrenal glands regulate the body's temperature in cold weather. So you can get one large banana.
Oh.
Yes, please. Abba. Yeah, it serves up about 10% of what you need for that day. And supposedly, it'll help to keep you warm. I would never think of, like, the last thing I want when it's cold out is a banana.
Yeah, I never would think that
no.
is something.
Maybe a plantain, maybe a cooked plantain, but yeah. A banana.
So bananas and ginger.
Bananas,
and
ginger, cumin. It's a nice mix. Coffee. And also, what was the other thing? Banana, gingers, cumin, coffee, and whole grains and complex carbs. Uh-huh. Keep you warm.
So you're not a person that gets upset when it gets cold out.
Oh, I love the cold.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. When I was in Norway, up in the Arctic Circle, I was never happier. We had like 3 days of sun. I was like, 3 hours of sun. I was like, might be too much.
Yeah.
I know it's there. I don't need to see it. I loved it.
What are some of your favorite ways to kind of like hole up at the apartment, at the homestead?
I'm pretty like basic with it. I'm definitely the kind of person to go with a hot toddy and a Scandinavian mystery.
Okay.
Because I love the idea of reading about the cold and looking outside and it's, you know, it's cold outside. Mm-hmm. And I just, Janeway, my Shih Tzu, she'll sit on a blanket next to me and I'll put on some, like, big socks.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Pretty basic.
Mm.
Not that exciting.
But that's good.
Yeah. I'm all about the hig.
Yeah.
I guess. How about you?
Well, first, my apartment gets cleaned.
Okay. Like your apartment's always clean.
I know, but when I clean it up... And it's just, like, freshly cleaned.
Okay. I feel like... Okay, but maybe you always clean it before I come over.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I clean it every week.
Okay.
But when it is, like, that day and it's freshly cleaned...
It's, like, sparkly clean.
Right. And then a nice shower, exfoliate, and then use warm oils on your body.
Nice. Okay.
Instead of just moisturizer. And that seems... It's very warm on your skin. Your skin starts to get, like, nice and toasty.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a black person. I oil up twice a day every day with warm oil. That's like a specialty for you. I'm like, it's my Monday.
Yeah.
It feels good, though, right?
Yeah.
Especially after you exfoliate.
Yes. And then the cozy jammies.
Okay.
Get on. And then...
Is a candle get involved?
Oh, wait. I'm getting to it. Because now comes the essential oils and the diffuser.
Nice. This is maximum hig.
Yeah. Then the candles. Then some kind of snack.
Okay.
Then some booze.
Okay. Some booze. We have that in common.
Yes, and a blanket and a couch, Netflix.
And chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like... I also like going out. Like, I love when it's snowing. Not sleet, you know, wet snow, but when it's snowing a lot. Because it keeps the week off the streets.
That's right.
It does. It and does. It's nice and quiet outside. I like to go for a nice... That's when I like to walk around Manhattan.
Yeah.
Because it's still a couple of shops are open because they're like, maybe someone will come in.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's just me and the other people out there who are tough.
They're strong.
Yeah.
Ones.
And I have my boots. I got my hat on. And I'm just ready to like...
These are all your
around.
Soulmates that
yeah.
are out there.
Yeah. We greet each other. I mean, we can barely see each other because we're like snuggled up. And it's like, you know, a quick hey. We're out here doing it.
Yeah, and then you make it to the next bar.
Yes!
And then everybody there is celebrating.
It's like Norm!
Yeah.
When you walk in.
And it's cozy.
Yeah.
And
I like going to a nice bar in the wintertime.
Yes.
In the city.
Okay, now, there might be a few, as we said, there's a few ghosts and spirits that wander around.
A few? There's mad ghosts. I have a list of like 20 different ghosts over here.
Well, there's different kinds, so you have to, like, be careful.
So what, you don't want to misidentify them?
Yeah, misidentify them or miss one altogether.
Okay.
And then you're just SOL. There's a Celtic spirit called the wandering stranger or the mysterious stranger and the unexpected guest.
Huh? I don't like the last one. I don't like an unexpected guest. I'm sorry. If you want to wander and be mysterious, be my guest. Well, not unexpected though.
This is a spectral visitor, is understood as the manifestation of need in the world. And it usually comes to haunt us in the guise of a hardworking middle-aged man or woman.
What?
Not quite in great health.
Perhaps. How do I know he's hardworking?
Well, just kind of
a real salt of the earth type.
perhaps has some difficulty has overtaken them in life.
Laid off from the mill.
To encounter a wandering stranger out of doors, perhaps on an open road, is said to signify that someone needs shelter.
Well, no shit, if you're driving down an open road and you see someone on the side of the road who looks like, yeah. The grapes of wrath, maybe you need to give them a ride.
It could be the spirit, and it may be prompting you to do something towards the sheltering of homeless in your neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
And if you have a dream even of a wandering stranger coming to your door, it may signify you need to engage more heartily in acts of hospitality.
Okay.
Perhaps hosting a meal.
Okay.
To somebody.
That's actually a dream. When I think about all my dreams, I don't think I've had that dream before. I don't think I've had a dream or a vision of any kind of a person in need like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And sometimes a wandering stranger is symbolic to the mysterious presence of the divine in the world within us, rather than need or loss. In the skies, the wandering stranger is said to come to people who need inspired to open up to the wider mystical horizons of the tides of the winter solstice.
Hmm.
So if somebody needy comes to you in the winter, it may be a call to you to
be more charitable.
Yeah.
Mom is such a tight ass. Already.
And so they think that if someone there, some fairy folk might come to visit mortals unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone comes to visit you,
who's unaware?
Them.
The fairy folk?
No, the fairy folk know what they're doing.
What the hell
they're
doing
down.
Here?
The fairy folk are in disguise.
Okay.
And they come to us, the mortals.
I like the idea that they're like, man, where are we? I don't know, dude. Let's get in there and flit around. He'll learn something from it. I don't know. Let him find something.
So gods or goddesses could visit mortals, or fairy folk can visit mortals in the guise of one of these wandering strangers.
I didn't know fairies could assume other identities.
Well, these ones can.
These do. Okay. Hey, now I know. More you know.
And so if you're visited by somebody in disguise, then you are being honored.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be ready at all times to act in according to the codes of hospitality.
I just give people tissue packets.
Yeah, so when you have a guest at your door, lowly or grand, you must treat them well.
Okay.
Because it could be this god or fairy folk.
I like that idea. That definitely says that you should just treat people well.
Yeah.
Be hospitable.
Yes. So that's something that's happening there. Then, of course, everyone's familiar with the St. Nicholas or the Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a kind of, we all know what that is, so I'm not going to get into it. And plus, he's got his own holiday.
Yeah.
So get out of our solstice.
Yeah. Unless you're Krampus. Then see me after work.
All Yuletide season, a spirit is growing. An aura of magic and mystery.
Okay, all Yuletide.
In the Yuletide season, so in December, during the season, there is this aura of magic and mystery, supposedly, that's growing. And the crescendo is on the 21st of December and maintains a climatic intensity till after midnight on December 24th.
Okay. And then it's like, forget, it's out. It's over.
Yes. And that night is called the Night of the Great Mother.
I did not know this.
And this spirit that builds during this time frame is collectively called the spirit of Yule.
I feel like we have done a lot of research on Yule and not gotten to this before.
I think we're looking in the wrong spots.
Yeah.
I think we need to...
We're not doing this right.
I know.
After 8 years. This is new information.
Yeah, the spirit of Yule is a metaphor for the presence of mystery among us, or perhaps a symbol of the essence of the universe itself becoming present in us.
Well, that's interesting because they try to paint Christmas a little when we're young as like a time of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what this is coming from, because the traditional view of Christmas here is that, Jesus' birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that have to do with this wonder? Right,
yes.
And St. Nicholas. So
yeah.
Maybe that's where this is coming from, these older traditions.
Right. The spirit of Yule is this time of wonder.
Yeah.
Where it's building.
Something's
right?
building.
And don't we kind of, like when we're little,
there's anticipation.
This anticipation we're feeling.
But we've
they've
turned it into an anticipation to receive a gift that is physical. And maybe, I'm assuming here, the gift is joy and wonder and, feeling a place in the universe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you receive.
It's becoming more aware spiritually and growing in your own way, whatever that is.
And instead of getting a Furby. Okay. I'm with that.
Yeah. So, just as all fairy folk of Yule seem to, they can come in different forms, they can also manifest as the spirit of Yule. So then it can also come in this... That's the Christmas spirit. Yeah.
Which was why that is incompatible with the Christian aspect of Christmas.
Right? Yes, and the spirit that inspires visions of better worlds in our hearts and minds. And it causes magical apparitions meant to inspire us with joy and encourage us to throw off our shackles and any self-imposed limitations.
But this is like Dickens, right?
Yeah.
The Christmas Carol, right. Which is not, I don't remember there being a lot of allusions to Christianity in that. Is that correct?
Right.
It's just about these three, the ghosts.
The spirit that comes to you.
So the spirit of Christmas.
Past, present, and future comes to you. But maybe that was just a more simplistic way to present
But still these ideas seem to be present there. That something's happening, there's some growth.
Right.
And I don't think that we focus on that for Christmas.
No.
We kind of get it with the new year, kind of setting your intentions for what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But that's different than receiving a gift and growing.
Yeah. And like a time of year that is specifically kind of is very, what is the word I'm looking for? It flourishes.
So the atmosphere is conducive to people to being able to grow.
Yes.
And to be reflective. I kind of like this way of celebrating the solstice and therefore the Christmas season.
Yeah, and this is another interesting thing. There are the spirits of the hearth. And so this ties in with the Yule log and the fire.
Who's hanging out
everybody.
In there? The fairies who've lost their way. Like, son of a bitch.
This is because the fire in the hearth is thought to attract spirits of all kinds. Elves. Mm-hmm. Helping spirits, gnomes and fairies, spriggans, leprechauns, and many others.
Spriggans as well? Everybody.
Look how I'm coming to the fire. The hearth is a good place to sit and engage in like a meditation or breath prayer during the Yule. And you can commune with these spirits and get wisdom from these visitors.
Well, yeah, if you're meditating on the flame.
Maybe that's why the jolly old elf Santa Claus comes down the fireplace.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's not a jolly old elf coming down the fireplace. It's the spirit of Yule.
Coming down the fireplace.
Wow. I feel like I've been taken to school here. It's Yule school. I find it fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Because when we reflect upon all of these customs... Because in some way we like to think of ourselves as not really having too many customs. Mm-hmm. But now that I think about the things that I was told and the tales and the rhymes and things like this, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. This makes much more sense than trying to make this relate to the birth of Christ, which is its own thing.
Yeah, that's
its own thing. So, but, you know, trying to tie those two things. It's the same thing with, like, Oestra, the Easter Bunny, and Jesus Christ.
Right.
The same thing, like, how do we get these two things together? Well, they happen at the same time, but they're not related to each other. One of them is clearly pagan in nature, and there's some imagery also of the same type in Christianity, but they are two separate, they're two separate things. And so trying to put them together is confusing, right?
Right.
But so look at them separately, it makes sense.
But isn't it interesting, like, you can sit by the fire and commune with elves and these spirits for growth?
Yeah.
But... Then Christianity, well, not even Christianity, but then the Santa Claus, he has elves that go to work for him.
Yes. Well, capitalism, right?
Yeah.
And his workshop.
Yeah.
And they're making you physical gifts, whereas these elves are apparently freelancers, and they're bringing you spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you have to do your work to,
So however you're celebrating the solstice, happy solstice.
Happy solstice.
Hey,
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Yeah, the Yule log. Did you know about the Yule log? It was one of the most anticipated factors of the celebration for any of the winter solstice.
The Yule log?
The Yule log, yeah. To put the Yule log on, when burned, you burn a piece of the previous year's Yule log, and it is like, it's...
So I'm not going to find out about it today.
When burned a piece of the previous year's Yule log is also placed in the fire. Again, you and your friends may want to link up with more groups familiar with symbolism, herbs, food, and candles. Oh, this is bad.
What's the Yule log? Or can we not?
That's
okay. Scratch the Yule thing. It's out.